Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Yeah, you're very welcome back. Limerick are a point up against Cork with 2.5 minutes gone in the Borgosh Energy Under 21 Munster final in the Gaelic grounds this evening. And so we'll keep an eye on that. Seamus Hickey is there for us. But first, let's say good evening to Tadhg Furlong. Tadhg, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Enjoying a bit of R&R.
Yeah, how long have you got off?
Back training Monday week with Leinster, so good to go, yes.
All right, that's not that long. I kind of thought that you'd be, you know, healed up for, well, maybe a month or two, that you'd still be sunning yourself out in Spain somewhere.
I think you'd probably have to roll me back into the training pitch if that was the case. Yeah, good 3.5 weeks, I suppose, from the time we landed, 4 from the last game, and I think we might be picking up a few days, or bones of a week, really, 3 or 4 weeks into pre-season. So standard enough to get, yeah, your 4 or 5 weeks off in pre-season.
And have you managed to process everything that happened? You know, this time last year, I think you were on the record of saying Stuart Lancaster took you aside and said, you know, you could be a Lion, and then here you are, and you come home with a drawn test series. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I suppose it's been a big year for me, and look, I was afforded opportunities along the way, and probably went back to South Africa last summer where I got my first Irish start, and no, just getting minutes in the jersey and, you know, learning from, you know, mistakes and playing in big games and big occasions probably fill you with that little bit of confidence, and you know, getting the opportunity to, you know, play in the Lions series and to start 3 test games, you know, to come from where it did to where it finished, you know, it's very pleasing in the course of the year.
It seems when Lancaster suggested, Tadhg, that you could make the Lions at the start of the year, you thought, no way, that's not even on my radar, really.
Yeah, I probably thought it was a big shout from him to say that, but, you know, probably Stuart has been around a lot of teams, and a lot of players, and, you know, at my stage in my development, I probably couldn't, you know, see the connection there, and, you know, to be fair, he pushed us pretty hard during the year in training, and push us and challenge us to get better as rugby players. So, you know, he probably knows what he's talking about in that sort of field and bringing young lads through.
So did you improve on things technically over that year, or did you have the, you know, were you playing at a similar level, you just didn't think it was good enough for the Lions?
I think definitely I got better as a rugby player last year, especially in the sort of unstructured situations with Stuart and his training. I think technically in scrum time, you probably learn, you know, time the saddle is a big thing there. And, you know, I still look at my game and I still see lots of areas to improve on as well. And, you know, you look back in the game and you might do some well, but, you know, it's the stuff that, you know, you missed your ruck, or, you know, you fell off the tackle, they're the ones that really sort of annoy you in your head after a game.
Because they're the ones that's about work and learning stuff. That's not the stuff that is talent and coaching, that actually being a prop when you're talking about time in the saddle, that's the thing that I guess comes with experience.
Yeah, and you know, when you're coming up, I suppose through academies and stuff, everyone always says, oh look, it takes a while, you're a tie head prop, you know, you learn from this. It doesn't necessarily make your bad days any better either, but when you look back and, you know, you look at clips, you know, of a year and a half, 2 years ago, and you probably see just little things and like leg movements, your bind, your height with your shoulders, which might sound standard, but, you know, when you're under fatigue and you're out in the pitch and you're trying to problem solve, they're the start of big things. And, you know, when you get tired, or you might face a loose head that you wouldn't normally start to face in training or in the 4-12, and, you know, having to adapt and, you know, find solutions in, you know, big games and big atmospheres and big occasions. You know, they're probably the things experience teaches you.
So you get the call and you get, you know, this amazing experience, and I'm sure like every player, you've watched the Living With Lions documentaries and you have a feel for what the whole thing's about. That initial week or two of the four countries coming together, 4 different teams, you obviously don't know the other lads really, because it's your first Lions tour. What's that first week or two like?
It's kind of, you're on eggshells a small bit because you don't know the players. You're only after playing against them. You don't know the person behind the player. I think a lot of lads are in the same sort of boat. So, you know, you probably cling on to a few lads you make friends with early on, and as it goes on then, or the weeks start to roll on, you probably get more friendly with the other sort of guys. No, I think it was a young enough squad this tour, and I definitely found that, you know, you mightn't necessarily like all the players on the rugby pitch, but behind it all, you know, they're really good lads. And I suppose the common thing is, you know, you're all in this sort of together, and a lot of lads were in the same boat.
It's, and the days of, well, let's just go out in the lash for, you know, six or seven different nights, they seem to be gone. There's not as much time to do that. So, like, do you try and enforce the bonding experience? Do you have, you know, get up and sing in front of the bus stuff? You know, we see glimpses of that. Are there things that you do to try and expedite the getting to know you stage, or does that, do you just let it happen naturally?
Yeah, I think you probably just let it happen naturally.
Right.
You know, you might stay longer around the dinner table and have those conversations than you would in like a Leinster and Irish camp, or, you know, you might hang around the team room a bit later at night than you would, but no, I don't think anyone was trying to force themselves on each other.
Yeah. And if James Haskell and Sean O'Brien was the star bromance of the tour, who did you get to know? Who did you get friendly with?
I think I spent a lot of time with Macko and Jamie George, you know, the front row, and the front row is some weird way always sort of clinging together, and yeah, I got on pretty well with Michael, I have to say. You know, he's probably a bit of a different character to myself, but you still end up getting on. And Toby Falto as well. Two good fellas.
And so when Macko at Twickenham with the Grand Slam on the line, 10 minutes to go next year in March on Paddy's weekend, it's just going a little bit early. Are you screaming at the referee going, I know this guy's tricks? Is that one of the other advantages here?
To be honest with you, I actually didn't scrummage with Macko a whole lot over there. But I think if you're in that situation, you don't necessarily hold Anthony back. Just as I said, I'm delighted to you still want to. If you're in that situation, you'd want to win the Grand Slam.
To crush him. Yeah, for sure. You also got different coaching. It's and that's the other thing. I remember, was it the South Africa tour that Paul O'Connell comes back and is raving about Tipperick?
Or 2013.
2013, yeah. And so it's just this opportunity. He got him to teach him the chop tackle. And so you kind of get this sense of, I can actually go and use my ability to soak up information here. Were there specific elements of the coaching and stuff like that that you think I'm going to take a little bit of that back into next season?
Yeah. When I was coming through the sort of academy in Leinster, it would have been Greg Feek, who was the Leinster coach. He moved on to Ireland. John Fogarty then came into Leinster with a very similar sort of mindset about the scrum, a similar sort of technical aspect to it. But, you know, when you get to work with someone like Graham Rowntree, who would be different to the lads, it's quite an eye-opener where, you know, he works a lot in your bind, he works a lot in your head positioning. Or even when you're chatting to, you know, I've long admired Dan Cole, and, you know, a big thing for a tie-head is being able to get into the scrum, and the way he's constantly able to do that, and like not step back on the bind and get in a good position, not have to reshuffle his feet or stuff like that. To watch that, pick his brains is really good. And Kyle Sinclair, even, he had this little trick with his head to try to keep a loose head out. Some New Zealand loose heads like to come across that, you know, an angle, especially on your balls. So, you know, he had a little trick that Adam Jones actually taught him. How to keep them out on the bind, which, you know, I found really good. And, you know, overall, looking at it, you know, you definitely learn those sort of little tricks and experience from the tour.
It was an unforgiving schedule and there was lots of travel. Did the 6-7 weeks go by in a heartbeat, or did it drag, or what was your feeling day to day?
I kind of look back on the tour and there's kind of two halves to the tour in my head. So when we went out first, you know, the two games a week, a lot of travel, a lot of the sort of media and sponsor and community workers are pushed to the front half of the tour. So we're pretty much on the go the whole time. And I remember thinking after about 3 weeks in, this is tough going here. You know, everyone thinks about the Lions Tour and say it's brilliant crack, but you know, the work we were doing even on training pitch was really tough going, start front loading the fitness work. It's pretty unrelenting. And then you think of the second sort of half of the tour coming into the test games where, you know, all the sort of media and commercial work was sort of tapered right down. Our fitness or how hard our training sessions were tapered right down. And, you know, you got a few off days. You could go out and explore and have a coffee with the lads and stuff like that. And, you know, that's when it came really enjoyable, where you could just, I suppose, relax a bit more. You weren't flying on your rest days. And, you know, you could settle into one part of the city and get around and see a bit.
Mm. What kind of pressure did you guys feel under? Because obviously they had it in for Gatland from about halfway through when they realised this was going to be a bit close in the New Zealand media. How much of that filters through to you? Is it possible to avoid any of that?
Well, you try to avoid as much as you can, but it's nearly impossible in a way, because, you know, we're doing media quite a bit. You would have got your brief and what had happened and, you know, any sort of potential questions that could be asked and just a general fill-in there. And, you know, if you pop onto any of your social media, you know, because there was so much coverage of it, you can't help but see some of it. So, you know, there was, because of all that, and I suppose the country we were in, and, you know, you're walking down the street and the locals are chatting to you about it, the amount of fans that are there, you know, I suppose it has a huge or heightened sense of importance. And couple that with the fact of, you know, who you're playing for and, you know, the history and traditions of it, it is quite a high-pressured environment. You know, it definitely had that feel of, you know, big games, every game, no matter if you were playing against the Bruins and Maori or any of the Super Rugby teams.
It's very interesting you mentioned that word tradition there, because every 4 years the Lions are discussed by us on the outside, and there's definitely a fairly significant section of opinion which doesn't think much of the Lions, thinks it's a little bit outdated, doesn't think much of the tradition. But the vast majority of players I've spoken to, or even you watch the Living with Lions documentaries, within the circle, that tradition weighs very heavily and is a very real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I remember we're in Carton House, and I don't know if you're in the Carton House and you're walking from the sort of conference area down to the main hotel. Is a glass corridor, and we were there for the training camp in there. Like, every Lion and their Lion number was on the glass. I remember thinking, like, that's cool, and like, it'd be unbelievable to be part of that.
Mm.
You know, you look back and maybe, you know, 100 years time, that'd be the same again, and, you know, your name will be there forever. And, you know, you have your Lion's number, and I suppose you think of all the great rugby players that played before you in recent times, some of your heroes, where, you know, they're there and they were part of it, and they're probably feeling the same way as you were for all these games as well. So.
Yeah.
Did you know any of that before you actually joined up with it, or is it only as you live through the experience you start to realise, actually, this is something, maybe it's not life-changing, but it's certainly going to be one of the best events that I'm ever involved in?
Probably didn't fully understand it until I was part of it, to be honest, just being part of it and being able to, I suppose, immerse yourself in that, play with people from other teams, other countries, you know, it's just, I couldn't speak highly enough of it. And maybe I'm a bit biased because, overall going to New Zealand and, you know, coming back from a losing test to draw the series is a good result, and we were winning games by and large, so maybe I have a bit of a tinted perspective on it.
An earned tinted respect, though,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's fair enough. Your record
you did
against,
all right.
Your record against New Zealand currently quite good,
yeah.
By Irish standards. So, like you mentioned there, we've all seen the test, so we all know what happened, and we know how well you played, and we know how different the three individual tests were. What are your strongest memories or feelings from dressing room around those matches, to what it was like on the pitch, to the haka, to, you know, I'm sure across your mind, everybody's getting up early here to have breakfast and watch the matches. What memories stand out at this remove?
I think after the first test, it was gloating. Not perform the way we would have wanted to perform, and you know, with all the expectation on you, it's really disappointing. After second test, you know, you're really happy, and you know, you have a few days off in Queenstown where you can relax the rugby free, and after a lot of travel and so not much time off or rest days, you know, you're really looking forward to that. And you know, the third test was probably one of the weirdest feelings I've ever had on a rugby pitch. You're kind of happy they didn't score in the end. You're kind of a bit confused about what happened in the Ken Owen situation. No one's won, but no one's lost either, and you're kind of up in the air about it. But then, you know, you have a few days afterwards, and you can sort of say, you know, it's a pretty good result overall.
Yeah, and you start to live with that for a while, and you realise that actually it is a pretty good result overall. And it's your history, and you are now part of that Lions history. That, like, I definitely think that it's only when you start listening to people like you who come back and 20 years later or 30 years later talk about these events and how they're part of a group that not everybody else gets to be in. So, like, now you guys and the three of you started all of the tests, and Peter O'Mahony starts the first one. Even then, there's a kind of this separation in terms of what you've already achieved in terms of rugby. I guess the only difficulty is coming down off that. Like, you're back to the grindstone of the Pro 14, or whatever it's going to be called in a couple of weeks. And then you're back into this cycle of the next 2 years all being about whatever happens in Japan. Somehow you've just got to get your mind back properly and make sure that those lessons about where to put your head and how to stop the loose head binding in. Like, how do you do that? Do you worry about that at all, or do you think about that, or just is it this now all pure relaxation?
It's probably pure relaxation at the minute, or just it's not even probably giving the body a rest, it's more giving the mind a rest. In terms of, you know, coming off the back of what, a 30 game season last season, you know, you probably owe it to yourself to refresh as much as you can and to go again next year. I've been 3 years a professional, and I've been part of a Leinster squad who has won so much in the past, an Irish squad that has won so much in the past. And, you know, I've been 3 years a pro now, and I still haven't tasted any success. So, it drives me more than anything. Is, you know, it's nice to be picked for teams and, you know, to be playing, but more than anything, you know, you want to succeed with the lads you train day in, day out with.
There you go.
Gone.
Whatever the black hole is, it's... I'll try again.
Yeah. Oh, you're back. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're obviously somewhere where the signal isn't great.
I presume, because I think we're getting tight for time anyway. Just on a personal level, are you pretty thrilled with how you played and how you established yourself? Like, I mean, I don't know if you looked at the press sneakily over there. I mean, I presume you can't avoid it. New Zealand Herald talking about you as a rolling Sherman tank. You brought a roar to the visitor's application. Somebody else, Tony Smith over there, said you were fast becoming the world's top tight head. You must feel like you've really come of age and really made your mark personally in the professional game now.
You do or you don't. I think... maybe it's an Irish thing, or you know, maybe it's a country thing or something. I don't know, but no, when you sit down at the end of a game, or you do a review, or you have to send some feedback to coaches, and you know they ask you to fill out your what you think you did well, what you think you didn't do well, and you know, you can fill out what you didn't do well and what you can improve on in shots. You could list them off,
but right.
When it comes down to writing what you did well, you know, you're struggling, you're looking at an empty page. I just find it very hard to say those things. And,
Dear coach, I was brilliant.
I just find it hard to do that. So when I see that sort of stuff, I kind of, you know, push it away and
right.
Say, oh, look, they're probably looking from the outside, they might have seen a carry, but they didn't see, you know, something they did really sloppily.
Yeah.
So if you see that stuff, no, it's I find it kind of easy to dismiss it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you get to enjoy a bit more of it, because there's plenty more coming your way. Tyke, it's great talking to you. Enjoy the next 10 days of R&R and whatever else comes for the rest of the year. It's been brilliant having you on, and you did brilliantly. Well done.
No worries. Thanks a million, lad.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.